Would you please turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. But now, thus saith the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flames burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men to your place, in your place, and other people in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Scripture. Without going into a great details of historical context of this text, we can simply say that these verses have a primary interpretation to the nation of Israel. God is promising that He will sustain them, deliver them from their captivity, and ultimately gather them together. Even though these verses were written for them, there is still tremendous applications here for you and me. In these verses, we can encounter firm reminders that are designed to teach us learning to enjoy our salvation. Let's take a few minutes to consider these precious reminders. We can enjoy, or do you enjoy your salvation? We can enjoy our salvation because, first, we are reminded by our pasts in our text. We are reminded by our pasts. In verse 1 and 3 and 4, we are reminded by our past. And most of us would just as soon forget our past, and none of them are anything to boast about. However, it is the very past that we wish we could forget that makes the present so wonderful. In verse 1, notice three great ministries God performed for every believer in the past. Three ministries God performed for every believer in the past. The first ministry God performed for His people is redemption. I have redeemed you. That means the price He paid for Israel, His people. And this great price the Lord paid to save His people, us. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, Paul says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We are saved because over 2,000 years ago, before even we were born, the Lord Jesus willingly died to save our souls. And when we came to him by faith, he was willing to receive us just as we were. And through pure grace, he forgave and saved us. And forgave our sins and saved us. That was the first ministry God performed in the lives of his people, the redemption. The second ministry God, according to verse 1, the ministry God performed in the life of his people is renewal. I have called you by your name. When God says he called them by their name, it implies an intimate knowledge of who they were. It also implies that he knows what they are now. When they became his, he changed their names because he has changed their character. The same is true with us. When we came to him, we experienced a renewal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. In the Gospel, especially Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, the Lord changes everything he touches. Lepers, the blind, the dead, the deaf, and the dead. He takes what we give him, and when he gives it back, it is far better it was when he got it. Give him your crab apple, and he will give you back a golden, delicious one. And give him your acorn, and he will give you back a mighty oak. Give him an Abraham, a lost pagan, and he will give you back an Abraham, a mighty man of faith. Give him your Jacob, a schemer and trickster, and he will give you back an Israel, a prince of God. Give him your Saul of Tarsus, a mean, cruel man, and he will give you back a Paul, a mighty apostle of God. And give him Simon, a weak, indecisive man, and he will give you back a Peter, a rock for Christ. Give him your broken and sin-scared lives, and he will give you back a new start, a new life, and a home in heaven. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, remember what we were called in the past. What we were called in the past. Lost. Children of devil. Sinners. The wicked. The children of wrath. And hopeless people. And think about what we are called now. Saints. Children of God. The redeemed. Saved. And citizen of heaven, and so on. When we think of what we were and what Jesus has made us, it ought to cause us to enjoy our salvation and praise him and thank him for what he has done in our lives in the past. The third ministry God performed in the life of his people is reception. He redeemed them. He renewed them, and he received them. In verse 1, Isaiah says, you are mine. God is saying, actually, you are mine through Isaiah. God reminds the Israelites that he has taken possessions of them, and they are his alone. When we came to Jesus, we were received just as we were. At the very moment of salvation, Jesus took possessions of our lives, and now we belong to him. When we take a moment and look back at what we were and where we have come from, and where he brought us from, it should encourage us and give us great joy in our salvation. This may be why Isaiah reminds to look to the pit from which we were dug. And Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12 and 13 says, and reminds us, remember that you were at the time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and stranger to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. What a wonderful work God has done through the ministries of redemption, renewal, and reception. So we can enjoy our salvation because we are reminded by our past. And secondly, in verse 2, we are reminded by our by His provisions. According to verse 2. In this verse, God reminds the Israelites that He has met their need since day one, and that He has pledged Himself to continue to do just that. These circumstances in these verses, circumstances reference to famous events in the history of His people and nation Israel, when God intervened and provided their needs. Passed through the waters, that was an event in the history. The Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14. Passed through the river, the crossing of Jordan, Deuteronomy 4, and walked through the fire. And you know, the very famous and common, even in children, the three with Daniel, his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What does this mean to us? It means that God has not changed. What He did for Israel, He can be counted on to do for you and me. After all, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 9 reminds us that there is no partiality with God, and there is no possible way that God will fail to fulfill His promises He has made. As you face the storms, walk through the valleys, endure the dark nights of life, remember that He is the same God now as He was then, and He will never fail you. He will meet every need you have for His own glory. In Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, Paul says, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glories, according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. In Psalm 37 verse 25, I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. There are several reasons why we can count on God that He is able to meet our needs, or He is faithful in His promises. We can count on Him, first of all, because He is able. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. We can see how He fulfilled the needs of Israel in the past in many different ways. In clothing Israel in the wilderness, in feeding Israel manna in the wilderness, in feeding the widow of Zarephath and Elijah 3.5 years. In feeding the 5,000 in John 6. In doing the same kind of things more times than we can even mention. So we can count on Him that He is able to provide our needs. He did in the past, and He promised to provide and protect His people even today, and He will in the future. We can count on Him because He's able. And secondly, we can count on Him because He's willing. He wants to meet your needs more than you want Him to. See the great promise there in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. We can count on Him because He's able and He's willing, and also He's faithful to His word. Romans chapter 4, verse 21. And He's also always near. He isn't just going to be there. He is there all the time. And Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. And Hebrew chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever the need, God stands ready, willing, and He is able to take care of the situation. We should be able to enjoy our salvation, and we can when we learn to leaving the worrying to Him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Note what the Lord says in verse 2 in our text. When you pass through and when you walk through, when you pass through and when you walk through, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, they will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. These two phrases remind us that the trials and battles and problems of this life are temporary. One day, they will all pass away and trouble the saints of God no more. There's a great promise in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no death. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the older order of things has passed away. We are reminded by the great provision of God He has done, given in the past. And thirdly, we can enjoy our salvation because we are reminded by His promises. We are reminded by His promises in verses 5 through 7. In these verses, God actually reminds His people that they have a bright future. They have bright future. Do you have a bright future? Do Christians have a bright future? He promises to gather them together and bring them back to their promised land. Israel will again rest in peace, and the chosen people of God will occupy all that is theirs. What a day that will be for them. While these verses speak again primarily to Israel, Again, there's application for you and me in Christ. We too will under the hope of His promise, because there will be a gathering. There will be a gathering. God said, I will gather them from the east and west and bring them back. One day Jesus will return in the clouds and receive His people unto Him. And one day, a day known only in the omniscience of Almighty God, Jesus is going to come again, and all His people will be leaving this world to spend eternity with Him, where in heaven. In the light of His coming and this promise, and God's promises, what are we to do? His coming. What should we do? Matthew chapter 24, verses 44 reminds us we should be ready. We should be ready for His coming. And Luke 12, verse 37 talks about that we should be looking for His coming. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 encourages us and commands us to be pure. And anyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. So we should be ready. We should be looking for His coming, and that the day His promise will be fulfilled. And we should purify ourselves. And according to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, which is a great commission, what should we do? We should be telling, witnessing. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creations. And we are reminded by His promises that He is going to gather His people. And there will be a gathering. But also in verse 6, there will be glory. There will be glory. And verse 7 reminds us that God's purpose in the creation of man and again in his redemption is to bring glory to Himself. God's purpose in the creation of man and in the redemption of His people is to bring glory to Himself. However, one of the greatest ways that God will ever bring glory to Himself is by bringing us to glory. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are you ready for this promise to become a reality? That God is coming in glory, and He will bring us into glory. He will gather us. I hope so. I hope so. Let us think back over what we have heard today. God has saved us in the past. And God has provided for us in the present. And He is providing and He will provide in the future as well. And God has a beautiful plan for us in the future. With these thoughts in mind, don't you think we should enjoy our salvation and praise God and thank Him for the wonderful work of salvation He has done in our life? I certainly do. When I look behind me, around me, and ahead of me, I see many reasons for joy in the Christian life. So let us get on with the business of enjoying this wonderful thing called salvation that God has so graciously given us. If you are saved, you have one reason for praise, worship, joy, and rejoicing that can never be taken away from you. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Are you enjoying your salvation today by giving thanks and praise to God? I urge you and encourage you. Think about the promises God has fulfilled, and He will fulfill for His people. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you so much that you have sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. Thank you that we have not only been forgiven and cleansed of all our sins, but He has also covered us in His own perfect righteousness and given us eternal life with a special place reserved for us in heaven for all eternity. There are no words that can express our love and gratitude for this amazing free gift of grace. And all we can say is thank you. Thank you, Father God, for your amazing love and grace. In Christ's name I ask. Amen.